putting her makeup on.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for October 25th, 2016. Yes, that means you have two shopping months till Christmas. The time right now is 7:04 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutback, Hanford, Rasmussen, Camp, and Gio.
Thank you. Council member Scarborough, will you lead us in the pledge, please?
Certainly.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Under announcements and presentations, we had Snohomish County Executive Summers, who was going to attend this evening and present. He unfortunately was not able to make it this evening. Before we continue from there, I also received a message from Councilmember Davis earlier today advising me that he wasn't going to be able to make it this evening. So unless there's objection, we'll go ahead and consider his absence as excused. All right, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. There is a sign-in sheet. Did we have anybody sign in? Okay, and there's also nobody in the audience tonight except for Jane. Hello? Hello? Chris or staff, anybody want to come forward and speak?
Okay.
Seeing none.
Have a sandwich.
Have a sandwich.
And a cookie.
And a cookie. We'll now go on to the next item on the agenda, and I'll try to remember I don't have a touch screen. Hi.
Mayor?
Yes.
Do we have an executive session scheduled time?
Yes, we do.
Since we only have one guest, why don't we just do it now and be done with it?
What are we doing?
Council, would you like to go into executive session now, or would you like to take care of parts of the agenda? How would you like to work that?
I'm assuming that's why Jane's here.
That's why Jane's here, yes.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
Throw them all that way for dinner.
All right, so we'll go ahead and go into executive. Everybody's fine with that, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So we're going to amend the agenda to do an executive session now.
Kevin, and, chance to eat. Gives you a chance.
Executive session will be for 10 minutes. And the subject, or rather the citation, is RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection C, pricing of property for 10 minutes. And we are now in executive session. Thank you.
Time out later. What do you heard about?
I did.
All right, we're back on consent agenda. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
I have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Rasmussen with a second from Councilmember Cutaback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is new business. Item number one. This is AB 16144. Discussion MMC 2.26 term limits. And I believe this would be Mr. Brazel.
Point of order, Mayor.
Yeah, sure.
I believe, doesn't Liz need to read the ordinance into effect?
Oh, on the consent.
Yes, thank you.
Item number three.
Ms. Smoot, can you please read the ordinance in? Item three under consent. And score one for Councilmember Hanford. You have another cookie.
Yes, thank you.
With cookie in his mouth.
Oh, no, it was gone.
Approved through the consent agenda was ordinance number 018-2016, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, redesignating and amending the term of office for the City Council's at-large position from 2 years to 4 years in accordance with applicable state law, authorizing and directing appropriate administrative implementation measures, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And thank you, Councilmember Hanford. So now we're on to new business item number one, AB 16144. Again, this is a discussion regarding term limits. And Mr. Brazel.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is tied directly to the conversion of the two-year council at large position to the four-year seat that Council just approved. Staff's done a lot of research on this particular item in regards to the term limits that we have on our books today and how that relates to the change we just made with the term of office. Because it does directly affect the term limits that we have on the books, we looked at surrounding communities that have term limits, and we came up with Edgewood and Port Angeles. In addition to that, Snohomish County as well. So in working with our city attorney, he's prepared two options, one that is draft language to add an exception to the existing term limit ordinance that we have on the books, or to amend the term limits to a maximum of 12 years or three terms, with the exception of if somebody has filled a one-year seat, you would go to a maximum of 13 years. And all the attachments are in the packet.
And what we're looking for this evening is discussion and then direction on which ordinance, or there may be another alternative that you may want to consider to bring back. Is that correct?
Certainly.
All right. Councilmember Cutterback.
So I want to just talk about a third option possibly, and that is, come on, I got to do it.
Okay.
Is looking at eliminating term limits. So just bear with me. I want to go through some stuff I've been looking at this past weekend and looking at some of the data and all that. So first, I think many of you know I'm not in favor of term limits. I believe elections are the term limits. Before we limit a person's ability to run for office or a person's right to elect a particular individual or a particular candidate, I believe that there needs to be a really compelling reason to do that. And in our instance, for our community, I don't think there is. In our community, the data does not support the need for term limits. When we looked at it, when we first looked at term limits, we took a look at the elections of, I can't remember, Gene, maybe you do, maybe it was the last 10 years or even longer than that. And what that data showed, there was very few incumbents who stayed in office for a long time, a long period of time, whether it was mayor or council members. I think there were two that come to mind. Tony Balk served for 13 years, and Jim Honeycutt served for quite a bit of time. But in between there, many incumbents were not reelected to office. It didn't show that our community didn't have a problem with entrenchment and people staying in office. So, you know, that is one of my main reasons for not agreeing with term limits. But then, you know, I listened to what council said up here, and I heard many council members, there were a few that said, don't believe in term limits on the policy, don't really believe in the policy, brought up the advisory vote, which people kept repeating, 76.2% of the voters voted in favor of the advisory vote. So how can we deny that? Well, I took a look at the numbers, and so kind of surprised me, because you look at back at that advisory vote, happened in 2011, basically 2,200 people voted for term limits, 2,200 people. And when I looked at our population at the time, it was over 17,000. 809 people voted no against term limits. So really the difference was about 1,700 people, which was at the time about 9.8% of our population. So 62 voted in favor of term limits. So when I hear people say 76% of the population or the voters who voted for this voted in favor of it, it is not the reality of necessarily assuming that that is what our community wants, 2,200 people out of a community of 17,000 to 18,000 people. So just, you know, looking at that, it's not quite compelling for me to keep saying 76% of the people. It's 2,200 people voted for it, which, again, if you look at the total population, is about 13%. So then you look at other data going, okay, well, you know, 2,200 people voted for it, 809 voted against it. That's not a high number in our population. What else happened at the time? Did people come to council? Did people, you know, send emails, call us, say, you've got to elect term limits. This is needed in our community. No, that did not happen. It wasn't a Walmart. It wasn't a traffic cameras. It wasn't East Monroe. It wasn't the wakeboard park. People were not asking for this. People did not email us, call us, come to council, speak for it. It was initiated by one council member. And that's the way it was driven. This was not a community uprising coming to us telling us. So we had 22 people out of our whole community vote for it. You know, we didn't have a large community of people. There's doesn't look like there's anyone here interested in what we do with it or not. So looking at that, I just feel like the data, there's not support for it. There's not data that backs it up. So why are we doing it? I don't know. So, and one thing, you know, I've heard other council members say, you know, it's the will of the people, and we as council have to listen to that and have to enact what the people say. Well, there's a parallel thing that we just have been dealing with, the issue for many years, and that would be Initiative 502. And so I had heard through the grapevine that our community supported that, so I said, oh, I need to look into that. Looked at the data. 9 of the 12 precincts actually supported Initiative 502 in the Monroe community. And it's interesting because as council, we have continued to not, and this is the, we have continued to not, you know, look for ways to limit it in our, and within our city limits. And I think with good reason. Because as council members, we're elected to make decisions on behalf of people. We, at times, have more information than the average voter. They entrust and elect us to look at that information, to look at it critically, and determine what the needs are. So, you know, when I hear council members say we have to do the will of the people, there are instances where I think we have to look at all the information and make maybe a different decision than what people think. So I'm hoping that, you know, I understand we've had, you know, a little bit of discussion, but I'm hoping that you guys will look at some of the stuff I've said and consider it. And even though it's not one of the options tonight, maybe look at what is the need for the term limits? Does this community need it? Why are we having a discussion when there hasn't been a huge community uprising? We have, at times, not done what the popular vote said because we might have more information than the average voter, and that's what they elect us to do, is make those decisions on our behalf. So I'm interested to hear what the rest of council thinks and whether they would whether you would consider possibly eliminating the term limits. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Thank you, Patsy, for the information. You know, since the last conversation we had on this, I previously said, you know, whatever we do, we just need to make it simple. And, you know, I kind of went back and thought, well, how can we make it simple? And I thought back to when term limits were on the ballot and me getting that ballot and looking at that going, seems odd, you know, not sure why, but, you know, I voted and, you know, just that's what happened. And then, you know, it's back up for discussion here. And, you know, still kind of have that question of as to why and whatnot. But, you know, the reality is we have term limits currently, and, you know, whether we eliminate them, change them or whatnot, you know, I tend to be a little indifferent on the matter. Definitely not opposed to eliminating them. I certainly bring up some good points. If we were to keep them, my thought is to, you know, alternate way to simplify them in regards to, I looked at the examples brought forward and the county's example that the term limits are based off of the term, not number of years. And, you know, that stuck out to me just because we're in a unique situation where we've got, you know, a mixture of 4-year terms and 2-year terms kind of in that mix. And, you know, part of the discussion last time was, you know, some there's potentially 2 council members that might be affected with a term limit that we kind of have to, you know, adjust a little bit to, you know, give them the full 10 years or 12 years, whatever the case maybe if that was the path going down that line. And that kind of bothered me just because I, you know, we were here for the good of the city, and, you know, I just didn't want to, no offense to our 2 council members affected, but just didn't want to, you know, put in a policy that, you know, seemingly was adjusted for them, you know, again. And which is why I looked at you know, if a term limit was to be adjusted, it's based off of the terms. So, you know, max term, two terms, or three terms, or whatever the case may be. And so, you know, if term limits were to stay, that's where I would lean towards, is, you know, eliminate the 8 years or 10 years or whatever the case is, and rewrite it to specify the number of terms. So, those are my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. Mind if I ask you a question about
that? Sure.
So, dealing with the case right now, the conversion from 2 to 4 years, since this number, it would be 3 terms, is what you're proposing or suggesting?
Just
a number of terms?
A number of terms. I'm not necessarily suggesting it has to be 2 terms or 3 terms. I mean, I'm open to discussion on that. But, yeah, I just want to eliminate, you know, the number of years.
No, and that's fine. I just wanted to make sure I was clear on that. First thing I've got is a question. So, if we adjusted it to 12 years, would that take care of the quandary we're in with? It would?
That's my understanding.
Okay, that's good. I fall in that category where I am not happy with the term limits. However, 76%. And I was thinking, so exactly what percentage is going to elect the President of the United States this year? And I think it's like 30%, 40%. So it's not the whole population. And I think most of the people up here, we were elected in a small percentage of that 17,000 vote. Some of us more so than us. So, I still think it's important that if we adjust the term limits, I don't really have a problem with it, and I don't think we would necessarily have to go to the people. Most of the information I got in support, and literally in support of term limits when it came out, was Fred Meyer, other activities where someone would tell me that they were in support of it. Changing it to 12 years, if that takes care of the situation and we can move forward, sounds like a simple fix. If we want to get rid of term limits, I think it should go to a ballot as an advisory vote. Yes, we make the decisions on a lot of things, and yes, we have more information. But in something like this, which is really purely procedural, and it's important to the people, I think we should allow them the option of giving us the input. And a vote is probably the best poll you can possibly get on any subject. So those are my thoughts. If we want to go to the 12 years or doing the terms, whatever it would take to fix the quandary, I really don't have any issues with that. I'll yield. Go ahead.
Do you mind if I
please
ask a question? So with the 12 years, I don't know that necessarily addresses the quandary, though.
Does it? That was my first question.
With Councilmember Scarborough being at 2 years.
Same thing.
It might with yours. I mean, because you've got so many years on board, but.
Won't that put you at 10?
Yeah, would you yield?
Put me at 6.
Go so for I'll yield for
so
it.
Yield away.
Go
ahead.
So
if yielding. Currently states no more than 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if we transfer the terminology to what you're suggesting, which is terms, so shall serve for no more than 3 terms.
Or 2 or whatever is decided. Right.
Then that would give me and Councilmember Scarborough the opportunity to reach a total of 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And give everyone else up here an opportunity to reach the total of 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you change it to terms, that would fix the problem. If you change it to 12, that would fix the problem. Either of those.
Or eliminate.
However.
That's correct.
That's
correct. She's right.
Councilmember Kemp, you still have the floor?
I don't know. Am I done?
Yes, you're done. Camp, you're done.
Oh, I guess I'm done. All right.
Still got the floor.
So if I understand correctly, if we go with terms or if we go with years, it would just, if we went with years, we'd go to 12 years, and that would fix the problem. If we went to terms, we're dealing with a one-off situation, so yes, you and Mr. Scarborough would be limited to 10 years as opposed to 12. So that's two parades that you wouldn't be able to participate in, except as a guest or something. So I don't know. I would be happy with either one if it would work. Now I'm done. I'm sorry.
Ten both ways.
Is that good?
Mm-hmm. All right, so Councilmember Scarborough.
Okay. I basically agree with Mr. Camp, and or we don't want to do that.
But not in that order.
Not necessarily. But what I'm pointing out is like we've discussed, changing it to three terms, yeah, tours as I call it, that's going to give my possibility 10 and Kevin's possibility 10. Changing it to 12, it's still only going to give both of us about 10. The only thing I don't want to see is I don't want to see 8, because that doesn't work. Because if they got all our terms are 4 years, it's got to be 8 or 12 to clean this up after we're gone. So for the city's sake, in order to clean it up, either it goes to three tours or 12 years or not at all, in my opinion. But kind of what you said, right?
Okay. Anything further, Councilmember Scarborough?
All I can think of right now.
Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen.
So just a clarifying question on all this. I mean, you know, if a new policy was to go into place here, you know, does that essentially start this at ground zero or at zero then? Because I'm hearing everyone say, you know, 12 years would fix this, but, you know.
Will it yield?
Yeah.
When we did this initially, it was retroactive to people who had previously served.
Yeah.
There was some question on legality with that. I don't remember Zach's reply on that, but I think it probably was okay.
Yeah, it was.
So my understanding would be that this would go into effect retroactively. So these two we would not be starting over as Jim's. I'm starting my first year of my first term.
Okay.
If that's what you're asking.
That is what I'm asking. So I guess I'm just trying to figure out how 12 years makes it work then. Because in the case of, it doesn't.
No, it limits he and I, excuse me, can I yield?
Yes, please.
He and I, it still limits he and I to 10. But in this case, it's, I'm sorry, too bad.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm trying to clarify, because I'm hearing 12 years fixes this, which.
It fixes it for the future.
Right, which, you know. So, I still like the idea of number of terms, if anything, but honestly, the more this is being discussed, and you know, I'm kind of liking the idea of not having to worry about term limits in general. So, but just my thoughts here.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Camp.
Thanks. I was just thinking that I agree with the term, especially if we're moving forward to have three terms. I think that's how the county does it as well, right?
Three consecutive terms.
Three consecutive 4-year terms. They have provision, I think, for an unexpired term. Remember, if you're appointed,
mm-hmm.
Then I think you're required to take the equivalent of one term off before running again.
Yeah. Which sounds like a good model right there. I forgot the point I was going to try to make. So if you went with the terms, we'd still end up with a 10-year issue for you, Tim. We'd be able to go forward. I thought you said that it was like $50,000 to have a special election, so I really think that's out of the question.
Ms. Smoot, go ahead and respond.
Certainly. I did check with the county on the cost to be a part of a special election. If you went for the one in February 2017, right now, the average cost is $3 to $12 per registered voter. Right now, at the beginning of October, we had about just over 8,000 registered voters. So on the low end, you're looking at 24,000 to a high end of 96,000. It depends on how many entities are on the ballot. So right. The more people that are on the ballot, the more the cost gets dispersed. Right now, there's only one person with an issue on the February 2017 ballot.
So if other council members decided that they wanted to have a review and put this back on the ballot maybe for November of next year, that might be applicable. Meanwhile, we could make the change to terms to do as a term count instead of a year count, again, with 12 years, I'm beginning to hear some consensus in that regard, and bring it back to a vote, and make the case to the voter and say, this is what you said last time, is this still what you want? My opinion. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to acknowledge Mr. Brazel, and then we'll go back to council members.
I just wanted to let council know, we did put the county language in the packet, so it's at the very bottom. And the other thing that Liz and I personally went through, every city in the state, over 200 cities, and looked at what they have on the books, and it was interesting to note that a lot of the cities went away from term limits over the last, you know, 5-6 years. So I don't know why that was, but we did see that pattern that a lot of cities went away from it.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Yeah, I completely understand, you know, the tenor of council's conversation of wanting to, you know, fix the quandary we're in and all that, because I completely understand that. I think we have to be careful when we're talking about this policy and term limits that we're not fixing our considering for a few council members, and I know that's not the intent. I know that's not the intent of council, but, you know, to just be careful and as we're phrasing things. And then, you know, I had heard a couple council members speak about, you know, changing it isn't what the voters voted on. And so, again, I think that gives weight to my proposal of looking at not having term limits. For me, the difference of changing it to 12 or 3 consecutive years, that's not what people voted on. And, you know, the data, again, does not support term limits for this community. So I'm hoping that we can keep that conversation going. And I'm not in favor of putting it on an advisory ballot and wasting taxpayer money, because, again, it hasn't been an issue. If it was an issue like the traffic cameras or people were coming and we really wanted to get more data to figure out really what people wanted, then I'd be in favor of spending the money. But I'm not in favor of wasting taxpayer dollars to, you know, talk about an issue when there's no one here on this issue. And I don't see term limits as procedural. I don't. I see that people's ability to continue to elect, like a council member Hanford, for as many terms as they want him in office because they think he does a fine job, and us not putting a limit on that. So, thank you. It's my opinion.
Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. So, I want to go back to something that you said, because you said that one council member had thought that the term limits, they brought it up.
They brought it to council, yeah.
But it took a majority of council to pass, to put on the ballot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the people, how many voted? Mm-hmm. They, not everybody in the city, but the ones that took the time to vote gave us their opinion. So, and I know it's an advisory vote, and we're not bound by anything, but to me that brings some weight, no matter if it's 2% or 50%. That means something. So I'm comfortable with saying, you know, hey, we can let's go to 12 or 3 terms, however the wording is, because we're still pretty much close to what they advise us on. If we say, hey, the term limits, we're going to get rid of them, that's nowhere near what they advise us on. And so I would really want a lot of public input and feedback before we even went down that road. So those are my thoughts.
So I have a question for council. You know, I know reading the advisory ballot language, it refers to 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
The I think most people, when they think of 8 years, you're thinking of 2 terms, 4 years each. So, you know, you're talking 12 years. I'm just throwing this out as another potential option. Another way, perhaps, to approach this would be 2 consecutive 4-year terms. the, you know, the people when they vote, when I see 8 years, I'm thinking of 2 4-year terms. That's what's coming to mind. I'm not even thinking about the fact that there's a 2-year term seat. So that, you know, that would be one other option. Again, there's a plethora of options, including not having term limits, but that would be one more thing that council could consider, is revising the language to be no more than 2 consecutive 4-year terms in office, and still stick with the spirit of the 8 years, which would be 2 4-year terms. So again, this is completely a council decision, but I just wanted to throw that out as another option that could be considered.
Could I ask you a question?
Sure.
Thank you. If we went to two 4-year terms, or 2 terms.
2 consecutive 4-year terms, yeah.
2 consecutive 4-year terms. The problem being that we have a 2-year term.
Right.
That would allow them a 2 consecutive 4-year terms as part of the term.
That would be the argument that we'd want our attorney and staff to look at.
It. Right.
But yeah, it would be a way of equalizing things. Granted, 2 people sitting here at the dais would still get an additional 2 years, perhaps, than other people, but it would have the effect, I think, of normalizing the advisory vote language of 8 years and calling it 2 4-year terms. But anyway, again, you all were part of that legislative history. I was not, and again, this is strictly a council decision. You can do away with them, do, you know, wide gamut of them. But yeah, that would be one theory.
All right, thank you.
All right, Councilmember Hanford. I'm sorry, Councilmember Scarborough.
So what you're saying was, and I think what you were getting at is if we were up here for 2 years, that eliminates that. That's just gone away. We could still get 2 4-year terms.
That's my understanding.
And I had another question.
And I have not discussed that with staff or attorney or anything, so just
come back.
Okay. Councilmember Scarborough, you still have the...
I had something else, but it's gone. It may come back.
All right, I'm sorry. Councilmember Cutterback.
So I just wanted to quickly respond to Councilmember Hanford's comment about the majority of council, and that vote happened in 2011. I can't speak for the rest of council of why they voted the way they did, but I know for me at that time, it was clearly not... It was inexperience and not looking at the data and really understanding an advisory vote and making a decision on the behalf of the people and really looking at what that meant, and voted in favor, even though I personally at this level don't believe in term limits, and not being experienced enough to articulate my argument and you know, to really look at that and question it. And so that is something I regret, not being stronger at that time to really form my argument and look at the data correctly. So that's why I'm doing it now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Okay, I remembered what I was trying to remember. If we're to do something, I don't think we can wait till November on one issue, because at least one person up here would have to declare running in March.
May.
For the next time, and couldn't wait for a change in policy to put their name in the pot for another 4 years. Am I right?
I'm sorry, say that again.
As it turns out, she has to declare, if we're going to change this to 12 years or three term limits, we can't wait till November for an advisory vote.
Right.
To determine, because somebody has to put their name in the park.
Right. To answer your question, and staff, feel free to correct me, but if you're going to wait for an advisory vote on doing away with term limits, which is what I understood the sort of what some of the discussion was there, correct. If you're going to look at putting a question out to the people and waiting until November, the time will have been gone for some, you know, for the election for November. However, I think that you're going to see in the packets that there's the opportunity to put a question out to the voters in February, if that's something that interests council. Gene?
And we can change, Mayor.
Correct. Council could do that, have a special election for just that. It just comes with the cost.
Specifically, let me just clarify that the costs that have been provided are specific for a special election, not a regular election. Right. So if you have something on a regular election in such as November or even a primary in August where there's a lot more on the ballot, then you have more people where the costs are going to be dispersed. Right. So I think the numbers that they gave me from when we did this the last time were around $3,000 or $4,000 total to the city of Monroe. So it's quite different when it's on a larger right. ballot. If it's on a smaller special election ballot, the costs are higher. Right.
Who has the floor right now?
So Councilmember Scarborough, do you have anything further?
So I guess what I'm saying is it doesn't matter if you want to put something on the November ballot for eliminating term limits.
Mr. Scarborough?
If we change it and adopt a 12 or 3 limit thing, we can do that without going to November?
Well, I was just going to respond to that. My intent, I didn't think that it would be make sense to have a special election to do this because of the cost involved would be ridiculous. But what I was proposing is that if we make a change to accommodate whatever needs to be happened before May of next year and then have a special or have a ballot on the November election deciding whether or not we're going to continue with term limits, that would be an option.
Okay.
That's all I wasn't I really
clarify that again.
Right. And I know you saw the floor, but just if I can't picture any of us up here would want to spend $24,000 or $50,000 on a special election for this.
Right.
I'm sorry, I think it's a procedural issue, but
whatever. Councilmember Scarborough, you still have the floor? Councilmember Camp?
No, I can't remember what I was going to point.
Would you like me to come back to you?
Come back to me, and I'll see if I can.
Councilmember Hanford.
So, just to be clear, I'm not saying that I'm necessarily for term limits.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and term limits I found are frustrating because when you look at our federal government, we should have term limits years ago. Mm-hmm. And most likely, we put it on another ballot. It's probably going to say the same thing. We might get even more numbers. Yes, term limits. We need to get rid of people. But I think most people are thinking of the federal government when they see
yeah.
that. They're not thinking of
yeah.
the council member that they happen to see at the grocery store here, and our kids are playing t-ball together and whatever else. So, and when you have a good council, then you don't want term limits. You want to see people keep serving in the positions that they're at. And when you don't have a good council, you either vote them out, or you know, if there are term limits, you say, boy, I can't wait till 2000 whatever, and we'll get somebody else in there. So I'm open to getting rid of them, but before we even did that, I would definitely want lots of public input. I'm not saying necessarily the vote, although I think, you know, that's something to consider, but lots of public input that, hey, this is what, I mean, you see this, Monroe Council cuts to your position, it's front page, right?
Mm-hmm. No,
so if it was front page, Monroe Council is going to cut city limit or council term limits. So that there's notice, hey, they're going to do some business here, and no one shows up to say anything, then that tells us that it's not as big of a deal as what we think it is.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
You are 100% correct. I mean, that's the way I feel. That's an you could put it on the ballot every year forever and a day, and you could have the best serving council
ever.
And your advisory vote's going to come back in the majority. In fact, it'll come back in the supermajority, 60% or more. That's my opinion. I do think it is more federally, you know, based. I honestly can't believe we've spent this much time talking about it tonight and over the last several years and even going back to 2011, to be perfectly honest. I mean, if you really look at what the advisory vote said, is they are advising us that they don't want the option to vote for all candidates that are interested in serving. ultimately, they still have the final say either way.
Yeah.
The one comment that I've said all along, and Councilmember Cutterback has said tonight, is that, I mean, we do. We have term limits every time there's an election. I don't know. I think it's rather silly. I don't really, I mean, this is very seldom when you hear me say this on this. I really don't care. I mean, we could do 12, we could do, you know, whatever, because most of us up here all are, you know, have families and other obligations, and, you know, we probably all know that we're probably not going to be serving forever and, you know, in a day, so it really doesn't impact us. It's not like we're out there for a 20-year run as a council member in Monroe. I don't know, maybe Mr. Camp is well on his way. But I just, yeah, Mr. Camp, yeah.
We'll throw it together,
yes, Mr. Camp. But anyway, that's my two. So I just would like to be done with it. I'd love to have some. I don't care if it's 12 years, if it's no. But to your point, there's nobody here. And Councilmember Cutterback is absolutely correct.
Wow, I'm recording that.
You're absolutely right.
A minute order?
We could. I never heard. This was when I was. This is when I was running.
Yeah.
And it never really was an issue I ever had to address or discuss. Otherwise, doorbelling and or otherwise, it was no one ever asked me about it. It just was a non-issue to them.
All right. So the question then comes before council, and I feel like I'm hearing a consensus of folks that would be willing to consider an ordinance that removes term limits. Is that the case?
I'm in favor.
With a hearing. Sounds like we want to have the opportunity for a couple, that council would like the opportunity for a couple hearings. Okay, I need to give direction to the staff. So is there objection to me giving direction to staff to prepare an ordinance that would remove term limits and to have one, two hearings for that? Councilmember Camp.
Not an objection. I don't think you're taking advantage of the people's will. And it was passed by a majority of the council in 2011. Mm-hmm. To put it on the ballot and find out what was happening. If you want to go forward with this and eliminate term limits, that's fine. I will oppose it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go from there.
Okay. So just so that we have clear direction, I'd like to go ahead and request a motion then, I guess, from the council. We've got one person objecting, and I just want to make certain that before staff begins working on an ordinance and we start paying our attorney for that I have clear direction. Councilmember Scarborough.
Does that mean that we won't pass the 12-year thing as an interim while we... Are we going all the way to no term limits and going past the idea of three terms or 12 years?
Okay, so what I'm doing right now is I'm looking for direction from the council. So I heard what sounded near the end of the conversation that was occurring, what sounded like a majority consensus in wanting to consider removing term limits. And maybe I did not hear that, which is why I asked the question. Councilmember Camp shared his thoughts, so now I'd like to get a vote giving direction on what to have staff do. So Councilmember Cutterback.
I'd like to move forward in staff developing an ordinance to remove term limits with time for, if it's two public hearings, I'm sure the Monitor would do a front page article on term limits, hopefully, you know, based on tonight's conversation, to let people know it's of an issue. If you feel two public hearings is enough in the next, whatever time we need to give for the public hearings. But I'd like to move forward and repeal term limits.
Okay, so are you making a motion to direct...
That what's necessary. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, without all the other things, but I want to make sure the motion is clear.
I would like to make a motion to the mayor to direct staff to develop an ordinance repealing term limits.
Second.
Okay, so I have a first from Councilmember Cutterback, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen, to have the mayor direct staff to put together an ordinance that repeals term limits. And I understand that as part of that there will be at least two public hearings.
Yeah.
Okay, and we can't direct the Monitor, so. All right, so that was a first from Councilmember Cutterback, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? Okay, so the motion passes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to 1. Thank you very much.
Council members, I'm going to leave. But I just want to say, and this will be on record, that you should give yourself credit that you're that devoted to your city and to the people that live here, that you would take this much time to talk about that, because it means a lot. You spend a lot of time doing this with probably not a lot of thumbs up or claps on the back. So from me to you, thank you for all that time and energy, and good luck.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, the next item that we have on the agenda this evening is final action number one. This is AB 16-144. I'm sorry, let me start that again. This is AB 16-141, ordinance number 017-2016, setting 2017 property tax levy for final reading. Ms. Nelson.
I don't have anything to add except what's in your packet, because I'm happy to answer any questions the council might have.
Can you go over what the addition is to the packet? Council had requested some additional information. That's attachment number two. Could you just briefly go over what attachment number two is?
Sure.
Thank
it's
you.
An example of an average assessed value home in the city of Monroe, what their taxes are for 2016, their property tax, and then the illustration shows the fire M&O tax sunsetting and the proposed increase of using bank capacity for the city's levy with a net decrease to the total bill for 2017.
Okay. And that's all things being equal. That assumes that there aren't any other increases that would occur.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Councilmember Cutaback.
Diane, thank you for this additional. That's exactly what I wanted from the last week, because it really just, I can hand this to people and say this is what we voted on and this is what the number is, and I think that's what we were asking for last week, so that really helped to see it. So thank you. So based on bringing back that additional information, I'm going to make a motion and move to adopt ordinance number 017-2016, fixing the amount of taxes to be levied by the city for the calendar year 2017.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Cutaback and a second from Councilmember Rasmussen for the requested action in Agenda Bill Number 16-141 as written. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. This is Councilmember Reports. We don't have any committee reports this evening, so Councilmember Gamble, you're up.
I'm up. What a great weekend last week. Homecoming up at the high school. Just a great, great turnout. And then all day Saturday with the falterall that is my, homecoming dance and everything. My first experience with that.
Power stayed on, right?
Power did stay on. Now that was prom. But I did think about that. Like I said, actually, is going to affect me this time around. But the power did stay. The power did stay on. But was just a great representation of the city, the carnival, all that type of stuff that was there. A lot of some of the Monroe Public School Foundation and different entities were involved in the carnival. I saw the Rock Church, which is always there for tailgating and stuff like that. And they actually provided a DJ that was utilized during the game, during the third quarter, and then afterwards, which was a new element added to the ambiance of the football game that was it's fantastic. It was really, 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 really cool. So that was great. And then another shout out to the Monroe Public School Foundation, because they supplied the sandwiches tonight that are sitting there. Before this meeting, we were reviewing staff grant applications for Monroe schools there was about 50 applications that came through from a variety of different schools and stuff for different things, grants for anything from field trips that might add to instruction and education to Google Chromebooks to just a variety of different things to help enrich the learning environment. So just another good week in the great city of Monroe. I will be out the next several weeks, I believe.
Hunting.
Hunting, but then also a couple business trips out of state. So, guys, have a great couple weeks.
Thank you, Councilmember Camp.
Gamp.
Because you guys did the
Gamp.
If he was getting
Gamp or Campbell, one or the other.
Well, thank you. Last Thursday, they had the AWC meeting that I attended, and nobody else was there. So I thought I'd give you some of the highlights that we got. First, I managed to sit with Kelly Marquardt, and we talked about your conversation. She is the Congresswoman Susan Del Bene's community liaison.
Yes.
Very nice lady, and we talked about 522 and trains. So I have issues with trains. They talked about the legislative priorities, and they get close to what we were talking about earlier. Public Records Act, one of the things they're looking at is dispute resolution, and I'll just hit the high points here. And working with the watchdog groups and the press, who have key part in the public in need for the Public Records Act, and trying to make sure they can come up with some kind of an answer for that. Housing, homelessness, and health, or as they call it, the three H's, statewide issue. Something about REIT sunsetting. I don't understand what the impact with that. I was going to talk to
Parks. Were they talking about the O&M, the maintenance?
And yeah.
That would have sunsetted last year in 20. Actually, the current.
Right. So that's the impact of this. Anyway.
It did, but we didn't. We're fine.
And one of the points that they brought up, which came up in our meeting last week, increasing available beds locally as part of our homelessness issue is one of the points that they're going to be looking at. They're also looking at infrastructure, public works trust fund money that I was going to ask Diane about later, and some information about law enforcement. Chief, do we pay for the students or the police officers that go to training, right? Is that how it works?
Yes, we pay 25%.
It's a city cost, okay.
Yes.
And the way she described, she tried to be nice about it, but essentially they're nickel and diming us for bullets and gasoline and that kind of thing. They're trying to come up with an ask to the legislature to have more training sessions and give them additional funds to deal with backlogs. I don't know if that's an issue that we've seen, but I was just really interested that they were talking about charging us for additional bullets or something at the court.
Yeah, they actually charge us 125% because of certain taxes that we pay into.
Uh-huh.
This particular fund pays for it 100%, yet if you send somebody to the academy, then you're charged 25% more.
Oh, okay.
For it. And what we're trying to get in the legislature this session is that they fully fund this particular, I forget what the name of the fund was, but the legislature's been taking money out of that fund for a number of years and not fully funding the law enforcement academy as they promised to do when it was first started.
Would it be helpful if we had additional sessions, training sessions? I don't know what staffing's like.
Part of the problem was in this last year, there was, let's say there was 10 sessions scheduled, and there were far more students that wanted to get in, or departments that wanted to send future officers to the class, than there were slots available. And finally, the governor relented on, I don't know what issue it was, and funded put enough money up front to fund 8 additional ones. So we had like 18 this last year.
Okay.
But the proposal, not the proposal from the training commission, but the proposal that the legislature is looking at is dropping that number back down again. But there was a potential if the governor hadn't come up with this money that we might have an 18-month wait to get somebody into the academy and through the academy.
Yeah, they mentioned that.
And basically what would happen, we would have them sitting at the front desk for almost a year, over a year after you hire, because you can't enter them or you can't put their name in for a slot to go to the academy if you actually hire them.
Oh, Okay. Well, that clears up a lot. Thank you. So I'm probably going to pester Diane about some questions about the finances. I know you're getting close to leaving us, but take a couple minutes. And speaking of which, the governor was there receiving an award, so it was a good opportunity to meet him. I got to say hi, and that was it. Anyway, that was my week. Thank you.
Did you ask him about 522?
I did. I said, hey, man, governor. Trust me, it was real quick.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Saturday, I was invited to a neighborhood meeting amongst many of the downtown residents. Live along Lewis, Blakely, McDougal, all down there, and they've kind of come together with some concerns in regards to safety in their neighborhoods, drugs, homelessness, and just overall issues that they're having down there. And Mayor Chief and Sergeant Irving were there as well. And you know, I applaud the neighborhood and all those residents for coming together to, you know, share their concerns and outreach to the city, to the police department, and say, you know, what else can we do? You know, how can we help you? How can you help us? I mean, it was just an awesome two-way conversation, and to sit there and listen to it all and be a part of it was very incredible. So, you know, really appreciate Mayor Chief for being there and those residents for coming together and speaking up. So, really, the only other thing I had on my list is congratulations to Mike Farrell. Your Cubs finally did it. So.
Oh, you just jinxed them.
Nah. You don't need to jinx the Cubs.
Wow.
That was bad. Thank you.
On that, anything else?
Thank you. Black cats or anything?
Councilmember Hanford.
Nothing tonight.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Nothing except, you know, I really appreciate, as Jane said, the discussion and the respectful discourse and varying opinions, and so I really appreciate all of you as council members. So thank you. Thank you for listening.
Back hatch.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Maybe just a little bird walk off of Jeff's talk to the chief and the people. I had a conversation with some business owners downtown, and the subject was the guy sleeping behind the gypsy dumpster, the guy that came in and was a little bit past passive panhandling, and I tried to explain to him, they don't call, you can't do anything. I told him to take a picture of the guy, because I'll bet you know who he was if we had a picture of him. But other than that, I know it's an issue downtown. I know it's an issue everywhere. They sit with their signs and don't pick up their junk when they leave, whether it's on the corner by the old Albertsons where the bank is, or it's over by McDonald's at the lamp post on the way out. Every time I go through those two parking lots, every time I go down Old Owen Road into town, I have to listen. I see it, and I get to listen to my wife ask me why. And even, you know, I can explain it every time I drive by, but it, you know, perception is more than anything else. The perception is that we can't do anything about all the stuff they take, the stuff in the plants on the corner of Albertson's parking lot and the bank there, and or over by McDonald's or anywhere else. So that every time we drive by them, I get an earful. I'm sure that's just life. But that is reality, and that's more than, like when we say perception is everything, that's the perception people see when they drive by there and they see that garbage around. Or, and I brought this up to Gene, but every time I drive down Oak Street and I see all of the cardboard bales behind the old Kids Country or Albertsons, and one of them's falling apart, and it's all over that parking lot, and I can't do anything about it. It's just, know, people to get there again. Somebody says, how come we have to put up with that? And I say, well, it's a private road. It's not even our road. It's not our property. Perception is we can't do anything about some of the messes around town. We're trying to do something about the mess down by the tractor place on the corner. That we sent the people a letter to clean up their junkyard lot, because not only did it look poor, it wasn't safe. There's nothing unsafe about your cardboard and garbage being on the corner, I suppose. The perception is it looks like heck. And people who drive through our town see that. And they say, why should I live here? Look at that. That's all.
One of the things that you did tonight was you passed a property tax that will allow us to hire a code enforcement position. That position will help out with some of what you were talking about with land use and garbage on private property. So that, you know, just giving you some solace there. That
give me an answer for my wife.
Well,
just have her call the mayor.
Yeah, just give her my number. So, and I'm sure we'll talk about some of those other issues as we continue around the horn. Thank you, council member. So it's going out to staff.
Have you called
Mr. Worthen?
Okay.
Mr. Farrell.
Thank you. Well, Cubs, I don't know if they realize they're in the World Series, but they're playing tonight. I want to get back. There were a couple questions from last week, clarification questions. There was a question about the paths and trails, $6,000 requested for 2017. And what that will do is that will connect the trail that runs east-west from Franklin's Boulevard, runs was that east to Stanton Meadows Park. That's disconnected from that sidewalk running north and south along Franklin's Boulevard. So that's what that project will do, is to connect that trail and sidewalk there. And there was another question asked if there were any plans at this point for 2018 projects at Sky River Park. And at this point, we intend to make a request for 2018 to replace the playground at Sky River Park. So we have a request for 2017 to replace the playground at Lakeside Park. And so that's that. And the other thing I want to mention is just to remember to keep your calendars open there November 5th at 11:30 a.m. Lakeside Park, the dedication ceremony for the new Veterans Memorial.
Sorry, oh, shoot.
No, Saturday, November 5th at 11:30 a.m.
You're going to send out an email.
Yep. We'll have an email go out tomorrow afternoon.
Great, thank you.
Committee working on that will be meeting sometime tomorrow.
That's it.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Wortham or Mr. Farrell? All right. Ms. Nelson?
Nothing tonight.
Thank you.
How much time?
Huh?
How much time?
6 minutes.
Okay. Mr. Osaki?
Just a couple of interesting pre-application meetings. One was a meeting with the school district on the expansion of Frank Wagner. I didn't realize it was going to be that big, about 30,000 square feet in addition to that school building. And then next week, there's actually a pre-application meeting with McDonald's. We're thinking of demolishing existing McDonald's and rebuilding.
Oh.
And I haven't seen the plans enough to know what the rationale is for that.
On Fridlands?
No.
No, that's right, gone. Too.
You know, we do have property at North Kelsey.
Oh, that one. Okay.
What might be cheap?
No, sorry.
Okay.
I'll mention that too.
They've been doing that around the state.
Just FYI, Greg can add on to this if you want. Last night, the Planning Commission had completed its public hearing on some low impact development code amendments that need to be adopted by the end of this year. So those will be working their way to the City Council November
1st. No, 15th. November 15th.
Yeah. Questions for Mr. Osaki? Councilmember Scarborough.
Is there a time, how long McDonald's will be down? How long is their remodel going to take?
No, I mean, we have to mess with them again, meeting next week, so it gives us a chance to ask those same questions to them as it does ask me.
Yeah, day, but
I'm not sure they're entirely with this idea yet.
Parfait.
That'll be next week, and I can report back.
Two parfaits.
Anything further? And I trust that everybody saw the email. We are losing our senior planner.
Yes.
She's accepted a planning director position at a city east of us. So we do have a recruitment going on for a planning senior planner in addition to the finance director. Okay. All right.
Hopefully that's it.
Huh?
Hopefully that's it.
Okay. Mr. Feilberg.
They're getting close to finishing the sidewalks on 179. They were out pouring the sidewalks today. So they'll actually probably be a few days after their deadline. They were supposed to be done by, but so those should be done by the end of next week. And then we've also ordered the locking electrical outlet covers for downtown so that the people will not be able to use electricity to charge their cell phones or electrical cables downtown. So they'll only be unlocked for the, and they're also in use ones so that they can still have the lights on the trees plugged in, will still be locked.
Okay, does anybody have any questions about that? That was a direction that I provided last couple days ago. Yes?
No, when I was out campaigning, there was a request by some people why there wasn't a electric car station, charging station downtown. And part of my answer was they could plug in. I think there's outlets down there where you can plug in.
Yeah, there are a couple things there to be aware of. One, you know, it is a gift of public funds, even though it's fairly nominal. But the other thing is that those electrical cords that people have been plugging in go across about 5 feet of the sidewalk, and it creates a potential tripping hazard.
I guess my point was, are we going to build an electrical station for plugging in a car?
Not at this time, no.
So I know what to say.
But thank you.
That's correct.
Thank you. They could get a solar panel. All right, anything else? Mr. Feilberg? Okay. Mr. Osaki, did you have something further?
No, I was just going to mention that Tesla is actually looking at locating a charging station in the Fred Meyer parking lot. We're working with them on that right now.
Awesome.
Well, there you go. Hey,
does it come with a Tesla car?
That's my answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chief?
First of all, as all already mentioned, there was a meeting with the neighborhood from Lewis Street in that area on Saturday, which I found very beneficial. It was a little different than what I expected. And I'm sure the mayor or the council person will correct me if I'm wrong, but to a person there that spoke up said how much they appreciated the police department. Mm-hmm. And when I got the invitation to go to that meeting, that is not what I expected.
Yeah.
I almost wore my vest to this.
Black jacket.
It was very, what they had to say gave me personally an insight into what they were experiencing. And I know our conversations back and forth between all the city members and the neighbors. It kind of gave them an insight of what we have to deal with and what parameters we have to work within and like. And I look forward to continuing the relationship that was established there. I think good things are going to come from it. Second, the question was asked last week about how many beds we have for overnight in the city of Monroe for transients and the like, and we have zero beds. Unless the temperature gets to 32 degrees and below, and then we have the cold shelter locations open up. Facilities that we have in the city were brought up, such as the women's shelter. That is not an overnight facility. It is a longer term than that. And also the Cocoon House, that is not an overnight facility for young people either. So right now we have zero beds. Hopefully there will be some organization that will come up with some way to change that number to a positive. So, and lastly, what I have tonight was early this morning, some of you may be aware of, maybe not. In the last 3 weeks, we've had 7 burglaries of stores that sell cigarettes. And give an example of one particular store. When 2 stores were hit twice. One of the stores was hit twice, had over $6,000 worth of product removed. And what they're doing then is offloading into a, I guess the common word is a fence, and they're getting 50 cents on a dollar for the cigarettes. Today, about 3:15 this morning, J.R. Richardson, our officer, was doing his job as he usually does, and he was approaching the Shell station at Lewis and SR2. And around back, he noticed a broken window, so he starts to get out of his car and he's moving inside the convenience store there. And about that time, the guy grabbed his loot and dove out the window, and the race was on. And those of you know J.R., the race was probably fairly short for him. He called in the narcotics, he called in our dog, canine, and the canine and the handler and another officer went after the subject. They discovered a swamp behind, there's some huge propane tanks to the southwest of the old Dell's location, and behind that is a swamp, and they go in there. The dog did pretty good. The dog only sunk about that much in the water, and the handler and the other officer went in. It was about that deep, and then they took another step, and they went down here. Ooh. And there's blackberries underneath the water there, and we're very fortunate that both officers survived, as did the crook, who was about 10 feet in front of him in some more blackberries. And the dog was the smartest one. He turned around. And so, but anyway, we captured him. He has admitted to about 4 out of the 7 robberies, and we think he's probably good for all 7. And we also know where he is. The commercial establishment that was taking in his cigarettes, and as I said, giving 50 cents on a dollar for it. So we know where that is, and I'm really proud of the guys. They've been working hard on this. We've had guys on overtime staking out some of the potential targets in town, I'm not going to say this is by accident, because this is what the officer normally does before he hears checks the commercial establishments and the like. And so he was doing his job, and that's what he came up with. So it was a start of a good day for us.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Nice. Great. Nice.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you, Chief.
I'll see JR at the Y, huh?
Okay. Gene.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Real quick, it's that time of year again to either let the contract for Gene's brokerage firm go or renew it. As you know, we have several deals in the works right now, so we just need to have consensus if council wants to renew that, and we can have the mayor execute that.
Yep. So I see head nods. Okay, we'll go ahead and extend.
Thank you. And then I went to the SCIT meeting this morning. More work being done on the transportation side of things. One thing I want to draw a line to that council should be aware of, the city received a letter from the State Transportation Commission, and they'll be coming up to the North End on November 16th, and I've asked Director Feilberg to attend that in my absence. And the SCIT is helping to put their agenda together for that meeting, but they're coming up to see what kind of transportation needs are up in the North End. So that's a pretty good meeting. If anybody wants to go to that, it'll be a public meeting, I'm assuming. And as that's developed and an agenda comes out, I will get you a copy of the agenda, and it'll be up in Marysville, is my understanding.
That's it. Any questions for Mr. Brazel?
All right, so I'll just go through some of the things that that I've been working on. On Thursday last week, I read a book called The Red Ribbon at Freilands Elementary School. Had a classroom of about 35, 45 kids. They were real nice and gave me high fives when I was done. It was fun. I'll be reading from that book again on Friday at the library this week. I received an email from mayors in Snohomish County earlier today asking for my signature on the bottom of a letter indicating to the Snohomish Health District that we mayors that signed the bottom of the document were going to recommend to councils that we would only pay $1 per capita to the Snohomish Health District. The city of Snohomish mayor said she wasn't going to do that. I went ahead and replied also that I would not do that. Council will be having a conversation about whether or not to fund the $2 per capita. I will respect the decision of the council, and I'm not going to sign the bottom of a document saying I'm going to do less. It is the council's decision. I do value what the Snohomish Health District brings to us. The questions that I had before were just my perplexion, my confusion of being offered additional services when they've got a shortfall for existing services. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that meeting next week, but I did want to make the council aware of the fact that I was asked to do that, and I said I would not be adding my name to the bottom of that letter, and look forward to the discussion.
Thanks.
Yep, you're welcome. The next item, yes, I attended, so Saturday morning last week, I took a walk around downtown with Diane Forth from the Downtown Monroe Association. I talked with her about the locks that we were putting on to the outlets and had asked that staff follow up with the Downtown Association, make certain these look good and everything, and she was happy with what we were going to put downtown. We also talked about the location of the pedestal for the piece of artwork. The Downtown Association, I think, would like to have the artwork moved about 8 feet to the west. The pedestal's already been poured, and it's been put in a location that was requested by a combination of engineering standards saying where things could go based on accessibility for ADA, based on site distance, and then the sculptor came in and decided that that was the best place to put that. So if you hear about any concerns about that, we did look into it, and it would be challenging at best right now to move the pedestal that's already been poured, but you can go out there now and you can see the pedestal that's out there, and I'm looking forward to seeing that out there. Point of interest on Vox Swifts, there was a whole piece on Vox Swifts this morning on NPR. I don't always listen to them, but I was listening to them this morning, and there are areas in Portland where people are trying to build chimneys to mitigate for loss of swift habitat, and I'm thinking, okay, where's Monroe in this story, because we have swift habitat here. After the Lewis Street meeting, I'm sorry, after the downtown meeting, I then went ahead and met, as you've heard, from Councilmember Rasmussen and the chief, and then Sergeant Irving was there. It was a great meeting. It was called by the, you know, by the downtown neighborhood folks. One of the people that was in the meeting is one of our Parks Advisory Board members, and then the other one is a planning commissioner who called it, Kyle Fisher. And a lot of people had a lot of really great thoughts. I think that everybody listened, which was, I thought, great. So there was a lot of really good sharing. I explained some of the limitations that we have as a city with funds and whatnot, and then talked a lot about the different things that they are experiencing there. And as the chief pointed out, it's not something, you know, they experience things there that I don't think that many of us experience in our neighborhoods, with needles and people, you know, trespassing through their yards and garbage and whatnot, because of a couple of houses down in that area. Sunday, I attended a meeting about drugs that, again, Sergeant Irving was at, and he did a great job giving a presentation. There was somebody there also from the Snohomish Health District, and then one other person that that presented. They were kind enough to let me have the microphone for a couple minutes at the end, and I talked about the importance of contacting our state and county representatives to let them know that we need more beds for treatment. Right now, there are only 16 beds for treatment and about 31 beds at the jail, and you know, to use the beds at the jail, you kind of got to get in trouble first. So that was one of the things that I talked about, was the importance of
working with regional service providers to provide more beds for treatment for people who have drug issues. The other thing, too, out of interest, for those of you that watch John Oliver, coincidentally, Sunday night, there was the main point of their show on Comedy Central on Sunday night was the opiate epidemic. So if you're interested in getting a little bit of history on how things have developed over time in the country with a little bit of humor added in, it was a nice 10-minute piece. I've also, just over the last couple days, asked the chief to update our code related to recreational vehicles. And if you recall, Aaron Angus-Napka brought in some printouts off of Facebook showing pictures of a travel trailer that's been known to set up in different locations around town. And so I anticipate an ordinance coming forward to try to resolve some of those issues in the next couple or few weeks. Staff is also looking at updating some of our city code that would sort of relate to places where people sell drugs in residence. And so I would expect to see something on that in the next few weeks or so. And then I'm also looking at asking staff to bring forward an ordinance related to camping on public property. So I would anticipate that would come after the first two ordinances that I just talked about. The goal is to have something brought forward sometime in December so that council can have a conversation about those policies. Then the chief tomorrow will be meeting with somebody from Human Services to talk about the social worker that we've talked a little bit about, somebody to go out and do follow-up with people who are homeless, people that are addicted to drugs and whatnot in our community, and try to hook them up with services to sort of break the cycle. Again, we keep doing catch and release where we catch somebody, they go to jail, and then they're back out. And we want to try to help people that want to be helped, and people that don't want to be helped, I guess we got to figure that out. The last thing is this afternoon at lunch, I met with Brian from BDS. I had a really nice conversation with him about the DMA and the chamber. You'll be getting a presentation from him next week. I was impressed with the report that he brought forward, and you'll hear more about that next week. So I think that's the extent of what I have to report out on. Any questions, comments? Okay, I don't see any. Gene?
Okay, thank you. Draft agenda for November 1st, 2016. For announcements and presentations, we'll have the report the mayor just spoke of. We have the consent agenda. Under new business, we have authorized water and sewer revenue bonds. That's a refunding. We have the garbage contract amendment listed as tentative, but we believe that will move forward. Brad's nodding his head. Thank you, Mr. Falbert. And the Snohomish Health District will be back to address questions that council and the mayor had. And then under final action, parking regulations. If you look under council member reports, the Community Transit Board and Snohomish Health District is on note for November 8th, so
yeah,
that is incorrect.
Yeah, that's too early there.
Mm-hmm. Any additions or deletions?
Councilmember Gamble.
I'm just looking at the extended.
Okay.
As of right now, I'm slated to be out of state on business on the December 6th meeting.
Okay. Yes, sir. Mr. Farrell.
If I could, also mention that this Saturday, as far as events, October 29th is the Skydiver Classic.
Oh, that's right.
That is from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's the 5th, 6th year of the Skydiver Classic.
5th?
8th year.
That's right. This is the 3rd year downtown.
And I will be there at that also. And for council members, if you're interested, I'm going to be doing coffee with the mayor at the Pilot House just a few blocks away from the start of that race before going. I won't be running on Saturday, but I'll be there. And then if I remember correctly, Sharina Bean
maybe opening up her new coffee house on that Saturday. So you've got a lot of events there in the downtown. Okay. Mr. Brazel, you still have... Thank you very much, Mr. Farrell. Mr. Brazel.
Just a note that I'll be out of the office from the 4th through the 20th. And as we look forward to November 15th, I see that we have the lobbyist contract on there. And I just want to let council know that it has been an absolute pleasure working with Greenlight Strategies. They have made it to every single transportation meeting we've had. They put in countless hours helping us address our transportation needs here in the community and out on 522. So as we move forward on that, I won't be here to discuss it, but I'll put the agenda bill together. And if there's any items that council would like to see included, please let me know. If you can do it by Wednesday of next week, that would be ideal. That'll give me Thursday and Friday to knock that out. But again, if you could let me know of anything, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anything further on the extended agenda? All right. There is no further business this evening that we require. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Aye. Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. We are adjourned for the evening. Thank you, everybody.